you probably noticed in your bulletin, we have some guest speakers with us today. And I was trying to think, Dan, has it been 2 years or maybe three? I know at least two, possibly three. Okay, since Dan and Nancy Larkin, EF missionaries, have been with us. And they go to some very interesting places around the world. He and I were chatting about that a little earlier, and we get their newsletters, and we keep up to date with them through distributing that information to you. But I'd like to invite them up to share a greeting and to tell us a little about their ministry and then to share the word with them. So Dan and Nancy, if you'd come up. You should. And there you are.
Okay, welcome. God bless you. Thank you. Good to be here. Thank the Lord for his goodness, and yeah, it's been a little while since we've been here, but we're glad we can come back, and we're constantly reminded of a scripture that says we are workers together with him. And it's not a question of whether we go or stay. The question is, are we doing what God wants us to do? And so we're just thankful to be a part of what God is doing today. You know, as you get older, things look different. Yeah, later this year, we'll be celebrating 61 years of marriage. Yeah. And that's not bad for a 39-year-old kid. She still doesn't know what to do with me, and she doesn't know what to do without me. So she thinks I ought to slow down, and my mind's working. You know, she said, just relax. I said, I am. I'm thinking about some stuff. Still seeking the Lord for God. What do you have for us in these days? Our desire is to finish well. Our desire is to keep busy as long as we can. Now, I don't want to do some of the things we used to do. You know, things get change as you get a little older and stuff. And we find more and more that our roles have sort of evolved into more mentors and fathers and mothers. And but we want to be a part of what God is doing today. And we have no official position in the countries we go to, mainly Tanzania and Bosnia and also Croatia. But we have influence, and that's sometimes a lot better than a responsibility, because then you're not held responsible for the problems. But we often get requests, and you know, what do you think we should do on this? What do you, how about this and that? What do you think? But we take that as very very serious thing, you know. So we appreciate that. And in Tanzania, we're known as Grandpa and Grandma. Now, over there, that's a very high respect. That's above pastor, okay? The head of the Bible school also calls me the Simba. That's a Swahili word for lion. And that's because I believe in getting things done. I have lots of patience. I just don't believe in using all one place. My wife says that for sure. But when I send emails to him, I sign it the Babu Simba, the grandfather lion. And he knows what I mean. And so just the other day, I told him, I said, now, remember, you're a Simba, act like one. because, you know, there's a time to lay down like the lambs, there's a time to stand up like the lions. You just need to sort of trust God which is which. Amen. But God's blessed us. God's blessed our family. I'll let my girlfriend here, my favorite wife, almost 61 years. Yeah. And, you know, we constantly thank God for his goodness to us and say, God, you've been so good to us. And she can share a little bit about on the family side and what she's going to do with me.
Well, that last one, I don't know what I'm going to do with him, but I sure wouldn't know what to do without him. So our family's doing well for the most part. The 8 girls are all doing okay with all their grandkids. We have 29 grandkids, and we have 42 great-grandkids as of now. So.
Tell them where number 42 came from.
Number 42 just came to us from Uganda. So we're very thankful for that. Mom and Dad were in that process for quite a while. And God really came through for them. And finances, I don't know if you know, but when you're adopting from overseas, it's a big financial burden. And the Lord really undertook for them and made the way. And so we haven't seen him yet. They're trying to give him a few months just to get acclimated to being here and to all that's going on before he really gets introduced to a lot of family. So we're looking forward to that. And then number 41 is being dedicated the end of August. Yes, and so we're hoping to be able to go to Michigan for that affair. So. We're blessed, and we thank God for his goodness. Don't ever estimate the privilege of having children. Our 8 girls are a blessing to us, the grandkids, the great-grandkids. And I was just sharing with someone before service, I used to say, children are the future of the church. I don't believe that anymore. Children are a part of the church now. And they're an integral part, and we must never forget that. And thank the Lord for them. God bless you.
Okay. It's so important that we teach the children, isn't it? I was talking to the associate pastor here. He said he had to go to children's church. Oops. Okay, there we are. And I realize this, that when you're teaching children, young people especially, and children, you may never get to see the result of what you did. But you're planting that seed, and that seed, it may lay dormant for many, many years. Back in, I think, 08, my younger brother passed away. He was almost 70. And he's a good fellow, but never served God. I don't know, I guess God just wasn't important. But a few weeks before he passed away, he called me. He said, I want you to know I got right with God. And one of the things he said, one of the things I remember, the things that I learned as a kid in Sunday school. I say that to encourage you to keep planting those seeds. We have a little plaque at home we picked up some years ago. And I think it's the only time I've ever bought a plaque. But it says this, do not count each day's success by what you harvest, but by the seeds you plant. You see, harvest is the past and present, the seeds of the future. The old saying, you know, you can count the seeds in an apple, but you cannot count the apples in a seed. Because that seed has potential. Amen. And I want to speak a little bit this morning on some scriptures from the book of Zechariah. And let's read those verses. Zechariah chapter 4, and we'll read the first 10 verses. And I want to tie this into the work of the missions, and also an encouragement and a challenge to you. In Zechariah chapter 4, beginning of verse 1, and the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who was wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" So I said, "I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at his left." So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" The angel who talked with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." And this is one of the important verses. "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth a capstone with the shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, this is the hands of Zerubbabel, saying to me, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. For who has despised the day of small things?" Very important. "For these seven rejoiced to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth." And that phrase, "do not despise the day of small things." And, you know, small things, it's something like a seed compared to a mountain. To the natural eye, there's no comparison. But you see, the mountain sort of stays stagnant, but the seed can grow. The seed has power. The seed can multiply. And many times we look at the mountain and we overlook the seed. Zechariah was prophesying, Zechariah and Haggai, they were prophesying during the time of the reconstruction of the temple. It had been started, the rebuilding of it, many years before, but discouragement and obstacles had come. And before them was a huge mountain of opposition. It looked like an impossible thing that they were going to finish the building of this temple. I'm sure we're all acquainted with what it is to sometimes start a project, and after you get going, it looks like an impossible situation. Sometimes pastors can see that the most. But you see, I believe this mountain speaks of opposition. it speaks of things that would hinder what God wants to do. And God is speaking to Zerubbabel, and he says, you know, you laid the foundation of the temple, and you're going to be laying the capstone. You're going to be ending it up. You're going to finish what I have called you to do. And he said to them, do not despise the day of small things. Right now, what you see looks insignificant. It looks like it's not important. And sometimes in working, doing God's work, it seems like what we're doing is not very important. You know, we're not seeing huge numbers. We're not seeing huge this, huge that. But it all comes down to one thing. Are you doing what God wants? The seeds are being planted. The seeds are watered. And sometime, someday, they will bear fruit. You see, we never know what's going to happen to the seeds we plant. I grew up in a little tiny church, a lot smaller than this one. It was a church my father had started, and through the years he had walked away from God, discouraged. There was at the time we thought he was an old man, now I'd think he was younger. He was pastoring there, and he had a grocery store about 15 miles away. He'd come and preach Sundays and prayer meeting midweek. And where we lived on a dead-end road up near Lake Ontario. In fact, when we moved there, it was a two-track, the last part of it. No electric. Our running water was. We ran outside with a bucket, dropped it in a well, and pulled it up and ran back in. That was the only running water I had growing up. Many years with no electric. And, wintertime gets dark pretty early. You're trying to see with the old kerosene lamps. Thank God for the good old days, but I don't want to repeat them. Most people that dream of the good old days has poor memory. They don't always turn out good like Little House on the Prairie. But thank God. But this pastor, he'd come over to our place, and I was from a huge family, and us four younger ones, he'd come and get us. Sometimes the other ones go, but my brother Dave and I, he was 2 years older than I, our birthday was the same day. I told him, I said, well, we're twins, but you're a two-year preemie. He'd come, and sometimes we would go to church with him, and sometimes we'd see him coming and head for the woods. But if we went to church, we'd go to Sunday school, and as soon as class was dismissed, we're out that door. One Sunday, we're right at the door, and he said, boys, I'd like you to wait and take up the offering in church today. Well, for two kids that thought 2 cents was a lot of money, that sounded like a pretty good deal. Well, that's how he got us into church. One Sunday morning, we're up there to get the offering plates, and he lays his hands on us, and he prays. And he said, Lord, make David like David of old and Daniel like Daniel of old. Now, in the Bible, David, he stayed home and he became a king. Well, my brother didn't become a king, but he pastored for over 50 years. And in northern New York, there's many, many churches that are pastored by his Timothys. Good churches. And some of them have reproduced. Now, in the Bible, Daniel Bold got sent to a foreign country. That's where I got sent. My middle name is Joseph, and you know, Daniel and Joseph both got sent away. Well, we got sent to two countries, so maybe that helps. But you see, but it was that seed that that man was planting and watering. At the time, it looked insignificant to the natural eye. And God's blessed us and helped to start two Bible schools. I went to Bible school after we were married, and there were some difficult times when, and I won't go into all them, but it was step by step, little by little. And after a couple of years after finishing Bible school, we were trying to start a little church about 40 miles south of Rochester, New York. And when we opened the work, there was a man came, and he preached a word. He said, "Despise not the day of small things." And I always thought, well, that's for this church. You know, this church is going to grow. Well, the church is a has-been. But the word of the Lord keeps going. It wasn't the church he was talking about. He was talking about Nancy and I. And years later, God was speaking to us about going to the mission field. That's after we had pastored and been associate pastors, worked on staff at Elam, just step by step doing what we felt God wanted. Nothing of it looked that impressive at the time, but it was God's preparation. And beginning of 86, God began to speak to us as we were seeking the Lord for something fresh. We weren't seeking to leave. We were pastoring over south of Pittsburgh. We weren't seeking a change or anything, but just needed something fresh from God. We felt God began to speak to us about the mission field, and little by little, as we took steps of faith, God confirmed it very definitely. We ended up going to Tanzania, not knowing what we were going to do. But while I was there, God began to speak to us about the need for training a pastor, training pastors. We saw pastors that had to look in the index of the Bible to find the books of the Bible. The churches were small. Many times they could get them saved, but they couldn't keep them. They had nothing to feed them. There was another brother there, the senior missionary, that had a vision for the school, but God tapped us to begin to actually get it going. And with the permission of the organization we were working with in Africa, we went home and began to share the need, and God began to meet the need for finances. We began to open that school. We got a little video DVD of the school. It's DVD's a few years old, but it still tells the story. And it started, you know, when we began to think about a school, we thought, well, you know, if we can get five or six pastors to come and we can start something, we'll think it's a success. And, you know, some of us are better at starting than we are at keep things going. So we ended up getting it started. We were there for two or three years afterwards, and then God led us on to another field. But we're still back there, usually back in Tanzania a couple times a year, teaching and doing other things. We were there earlier this year for the graduation, and there was, I forget how many was graduating, 20 or so of diploma, and there was some bachelor's degrees, and there was, I think, 7 who graduated with master's. It's come a long ways, and God has used different ones to accomplish what he did, but it started little by little. And I find this, if we do the little things we can, God will do the big things we can't. But God will never do the big things until you do the little things. You find throughout the Word of God, God says this, if you will, then I will. Almost every promise of God is conditional. It's based on being obedient to what you can do, but always trusting him. Now, Will, can you do that, DB? If you shut these lights, it will show up a little better. It starts out by our home. That's Mount Kilimanjaro behind it.
I am so glad you came. each life somehow touched by your generosity. And it was the little things you did, sacrifices you made, or they were unnoticed on this earth. In heaven, now proclaim. And I know up in heaven, you're not supposed to cry. But friend, I'm almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. 'Cause I am a light that was changed.
Next May, we'll be back over in Tanzania for the 25th anniversary of that school. And I think there's something like 258 diploma graduates and 33 bachelors. And this year we had our first master's, which was 7. And there's probably been at least a dozen different denominations that this school has helped out. And one of the great things is that pastors can come there from other groups without feeling that they're being proselytized. And to me, what's rewarding is that some of these groups have sent some of their lead men there. They've gone home and started schools like this. And consequently, we've lost some students that way. But it's multiplication, isn't it? And we're just so thankful for what God is doing. And but this song describes it so much. It's what you can do. You're faithful in the little things. In the building of that, there was pictures weren't real clear, but there were some young people. They were from Elam. They were called the TWO team many years ago. And that picture, I think, was 1990 when we were doing that. And our oldest grandson was there with that group. He was 15 years old at the time. 18 years later, he's back there with me to teach. And what a privilege. We're going back, we're going to do a teaching three books. And so I said, well, Kevin, we're going to split this right down the middle. You're going to teach two, and I'm going to teach one. I was teaching him Larkonomics. And he said, that's not the middle. I said, I'll decide where middle is. Well, he learned his lesson. Because while he was there, there was some need, and he said, I'd like to give $100. And he said, I don't have it. I said, well, I'll front it for you. You can pay me back. And when he got home, he sent me a check, $33.33. He said, this is half of the money. Then he sent the other one for the rest of it. But he learned his lesson. Last year, I forgot, a pastor of the church where we go when we're home, and he was going over and teach with me, and we're going to teach three books. So I said, okay, we're going to split it down the middle. I'm going to introduce you, you're going to teach. And I figured that was fair. Well, he said he was willing to do it, so that's why we did it that way, you know. And God got a hold of him, and he went back once after that to teach. Of course, I let him take my notes. And now him and his wife are going back, latter part of September, do it again. And, you know, that's the things I like, you know, to see them getting hooked, because I'm not a pessimistic fella, but I like to be realistic. I realize that at 80 years old, you know, I'm not looking down 20 years down the road doing mission work. It's possible, but not probable, you know. And my goal is to help to pass the baton and to help to get the younger generation going. And just a suggestion, but it'd be good for your pastor to go. I don't want to say anything to him about it. I want God to prompt him, but you pray about it. I would like to see you go, seriously. But thank God. And you know, the result of the school is this. Churches have grown. The churches have multiplied. And where it used to be 15 or 20, now it may be 200 or 300 or 400. And some of these groups, there was one pastor came from another denomination, and he was a bishop in that group, but he had no Bible training. He was the only student that drove his own vehicle to the school. But he had to stay there. That was the rules. Sleep in the dorms with the rest of them. But at the time, he had a church of around 1,800. And at the time, he had around 400 pastors under him. He is now in the national leadership with thousands of churches under him. And you see, it's what I call the ripple effect. You see, the little pebble that we dropped in the water years ago is going out and out and out. And the thing is, because of that little seed that we planted years ago, that school that we started years ago, today there are thousands of pastors that are being affected because of that school. Now, we only had a little part to do with it. I'm not the kind that want to stay around too many years and run a school. But I just thank God for being part of it. Well, after a couple of years after the school actually got going, we felt God leading us on, and we moved on to what back home, not knowing what we were going to do, and God began to speak to us about Europe. And through some amazing circumstances, led us there. And we helped to start a Bible school there in Bosnia. It's the first known Protestant Bible school ever in that country. And Bosnia Herzegovina is at the epicenter where Catholicism, Orthodox, and Islam come together. You can't get any more center than that place. And My first time there was in 95, I guess, when the Bosnian War was on. And some people thought I was crazy and others knew it. But I said, you know, it's safer there in God's will than it is in back in home out of His will. And as God began to work, but it started with taking little steps, what looked like insignificant steps at the time. And God began to lead and open the doors. And helped start a school there, and I was the director of it for 7 years. And in September, we'll be back there for the 20th anniversary of that school. And we're just so thankful for what God is doing. And you know, at the time, as each step of the way, there were mountains in the way. There were obstacles. But to the best of our ability, we have never based God's will on what we had in our pocketbook. Because we believe this, if it's God's will, He'll take care of the pocketbook. Now, it's not a matter of presumption. There's a difference between faith and presumption. But, you know, the scripture says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I find this, as we take steps of faith, God has ways of confirming one way or another what we should do next. I said, you know, following the Holy Spirit is something like driving with a GPS. You know the final destination, but that GPS only gives you one instruction at a time. Now, sometimes with a GPS, sometimes we miss a turn accidentally. Sometimes we just don't want to do it. And that voice keeps recalculating. Her favorite words on that thing, recalculating. And I find that with God, it's the same way, you know. There's sometimes we deliberately go against what He says. Other times we innocently miss it. But the grace of God can always recalculate. And it can take us from where we are at. I've said I've learned more things from my mistakes and from successes because I've had more of them. And often with the grandkids, you know, they'll do things, and sometimes my own kids, I did it. They didn't always like to hear it. I'd say, well, did you learn anything? You see, if you learned something, it wasn't in vain. If you didn't learn anything, you'd probably repeat it. I find that most people that constantly have a problem do not make a lot of mistakes. They just keep developing the bad one they got. All right? And then they wonder, what's wrong? We can always choose how we want to live, but we cannot choose the results. But by the grace of God, as we take the little steps, little by little, we will find that God will be removing the mountains of obstacles before us. And He can make that thing that looked impossible like a plane. We wonder what happened to it. But it only happens as we take steps of faith in obedience to the known will of God. And those little steps are not insignificant. The key is a small thing, but it unlocks the door. And sometimes what you look at, you say, well, that's not important. It may be the key that unlocks the door that God wants you to go through. You see, he only shows us a step at a time. When we started out and we felt God wanting us to do a Bible school, we had no idea how it was going to come about. But I've learned this. If you wait to do something until you have all the answers, you'll never do anything. As we take steps of faith, as we do what we can do, and I believe in knocking on doors. I've been accused of tearing them down. But maybe I just knock louder than somebody. But you know, as we knock on doors, in obedience to what we believe God wants, we'll hear his voice come in. The scripture talks about seeking, knocking, amen, asking. Scripture says you don't have because you don't ask. Some people say, well, I'm just waiting for God to show me what to do. Well, get up and start walking. Amen? As we begin to move in faith, God will begin to reveal the next step. Don't despise the day of small things. Don't look at something and say it's not significant. If it's an obedience to God, it's significant. If it's seeking God, it's significant. If it's planting the seed of the Word of God, it is significant. Another thing is, don't ever give up on people. I know sometimes we'd also often like to give someone the left foot of fellowship. But you know, as long as there's life, there's hope for every individual. And God loves those that we can't tolerate as much as he loves us. And as long as there's a life, there's a hope for that person to come to Jesus. It may be because of the little seed that you planted. It may be that little thing of encouragement that you gave them that helped them along the way. You see, as you saw the school there, that school, the one in Tanzania or Bosnia, it's all because of people like you have given a little here and a little there. About 3 years ago, we were over in Croatia, and we were with the man and his wife. He's the one who invited me to Bosnia. He was from Croatia and working in Bosnia, and we didn't know each other, but I was speaking at a church on my first trip over Zagreb, Croatia. And after the service, he came up and said, God spoke to me to invite you to Bosnia. And that was the beginning of how we got to Bosnia. And I said, well, you know, I'll pray about it. I believe in God speaking, but I don't believe that every time someone said God told them that God was even in the room. But God does speak. But that was the beginning. But later on, he was leading the work in Bosnia, and later they moved back to Croatia. So we were here in Croatia a few years ago, visit him, and he's pastoring a little tiny church, and God has opened up a prison ministry for them. He was ministering in a church, a prison of about 500 prisoners, and went there every week for open service, and then we're back again doing some personal mentoring and then pastoring this little church of about 12 or 15 people. And, you know, wasn't getting enough money to pay his gas for the week. And the organization was helping him, but he was driving, I figured out, he was driving about 10 hours every week just for ministry. And his vehicle was pretty bad shape. And when we were there, you know, the front drive axle was sounded like that was going to go out any time. And there was a problem with the brakes. And the heater, it was summertime, the heater blower came on full tilt, and you couldn't shut it off. Thanks to modern technology. And, you know, where they lived, their main living area was in a room about 16 foot square. That's where their main living and eating area was. And she had a little kitchen area about 5 by 8, and she was stacking her pots and pans on the floor, and, you know, pretty rough. But they did have a couple bedrooms upstairs. They had three good-sized girls and a bathroom that really needed a little work done on it. But so they had the need on this car, and wife and I looked at it, and we said, well, let's give something. So we was able to leave some money to get the car fixed. And we got back home, and we thought, you know, we need to do something to help them. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, you know, if we can just send a few dollars every month, that'll help. So we went to the bank, and we opened up another bank account, and we put $100 in it. We said, well, let's see what happens. Shortly after, we were speaking at a church in another state, and I just shared about what I just shared now. And the church took up a nice offering for us. And afterwards, a lady came up to my wife and gave her a check. She said, here, this is for Croatia. And later that day, she looked at the check and she said, it's $4,000. I said, I think you missed it, read that one. Look at it again. It was $4,000. Yeah, we'd never seen a check that big. And someone else gave one of a few hundred. And, you know, we're thinking of helping them a few dollars a month. And, just after that, a couple, 3 weeks later, I got a call from a pastor up in central Pennsylvania, and they said, we're sending you $1,000 for Croatia. I think we'd put this in a newsletter or something. And another pastor from New York called, we're sending you $1,000 for Croatia. And it ended up by the first of the year, we were able to send them $10,000 for a vehicle. And with what they got out of their old one and someone helped them, they were able to get a nice little vehicle, little three-cylinder diesel, about the size of a Toyota Corolla like that. Only had a few thousand miles on it, been a rental car, almost new. It ran on half the fuel that the other one did, and nice shape. But you see, it was because we took the little step of faith. You know, don't despise the day of small things. I want to encourage you, you know, you all have mountains in your life. At least I think you do. Most people do. Some mountain. It may be health. It may be a family member that's sick. It may be a family member that's gone the wrong way. It could be all kinds of things. But I want to encourage you to take those steps of faith, regardless of how insignificant they look at the time. And trust God. because little by little, he can remove the mountain. And he doesn't do it all at once. At least it's very rare he does. It's usually a shovelful at a time. Little by little, as we take the step of faith, he removes the mountain. Amen. We want to thank you so much for your goodness to us through the years, because these schools, this ministry, we're workers together in it. Amen. We cannot do it without you. And we have, between now and the first part of May next year, we have 3 trips overseas. And many times we try to figure out, wake up tonight, okay, now where am I? But God. And we want to keep moving as long as God directs. We take it step by step. God bless you. Thank you so much for your kindness and prayers. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's stand. We're going to pray for them. Nancy, could you come up? Stacy, Pastor Adam. What a great encouraging word. Amen. All right. Well, Father, we thank you for faithfulness. We thank you that when you look down, Dan and Nancy, you are just so pleased and grateful for their faithful service, year after year, month after month, day after day, just taking those steps of obedience as you've spoken to them through the years. So, Father, may this word that they gave us today be an encouragement to them as well, that they've planted seeds, watered seeds, now they are seeing the harvest, even as they continue to plant. We ask that you would go ahead of each of these trips that they're going to take. You would make the travel plans and the destinations all go clearly in and out of countries through customs, passports, visas, all of those things, that they would have favor. And then, Father, while they are in those nations, in those countries, in those villages, we pray for your protection, for your angels to surround them, for your health to be with them, for every day for them to arise and meet you with new strength and vigor for the assignment for that day. And that, Father, you would just so equip them that when they go, that yes, they are grandparents in the faith, and they can speak to the mothers and fathers in the faith, who then can speak to the children and the grandchildren of the faith. So, Lord, bless them as they go. And thank you that we can be a part. That the whole 60 of us can't load up and go, but we can be a part of sending them and depositing seeds into each of these works and each of these lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Have a great day.